police photographing our license plate.
What are we doing for veterans returning home damaged physically and mentally, suffering from depression, homelessness, and suicide?
Why did the Supreme Court deposit corporate money into our electoral process?
Should we redefine middle class as working poor? Or is it just another Wall Street merger?
What's really behind new voter picture ID laws in certain states?
Why aren't NBC, ABC, CBS, and Fox asking these questions?
Welcome to The Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio. I'm Marcello Rolando. The mission of The Reasonable Voice is to connect the dots between politics and finance, the need for better and more affordable education, our humanity, world peace, and of course, the arts, which we then gladly provide our listeners, the voting public, as informative food for thought to provoke their self-determination and appetite for equal opportunity. The Reasonable Voices are advocates prioritizing education, preserving our history, leading by example for a peaceful and prosperous world by evoking and embracing the creative artist and political unity as solutions to our challenges. Welcome, please, my guest today, Amy Sarah Marshall, who is the president of the Charlottesville Pride Community Network. How are you, Amy Sarah?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you.
Great. It's great to have you on the show. There are a lot of things, obviously, big things swirling around our world today, but none quite as personal, perhaps, as allowing everyone to marry. I know you've got a big event coming up on Saturday, September 13th, but first, can we talk about what's going on in the Commonwealth of Virginia? We've got a new Attorney General, Mark Herring, who seems to think everybody's equal and should be able to marry whoever they want. But there are a lot of people, of course, in the General Assembly that don't agree with him. And so we get a vote in the courts that says, yes, people in Virginia, Virginians can marry whoever they want. And then the Supreme Court stops that. Start anywhere you like in there. That's a big question.
That's a big question. And I have to say, I'm not sure I have all the answers, which is what makes the whole thing also very interesting in terms of if you're interested in history and politics. It'll be interesting to see what happens, because I think the question is, you know, like Virginia, you're talking about an attorney general versus an assembly that is still backing the Marshall-Newman Amendment, the ban on same-sex marriage.
Yes.
And the question is, how much are they going to fight for that?
Yes.
And the same goes for a lot of the southern states and other states like Tennessee. You know, if something happens with the courts, if the Supreme Court, say, does go ahead and rule in favor of marriage equality, will there be a huge backlash on the part of states, or will they kind of give up? I think that I get the sense that there might be bigger fights for the right in terms of what they're willing to fight for. But on the other hand, culture wars are still the extremists are still fired up. So I don't think it's going to be just an easy, you know, black and white thing that one day we have marriage equality, we don't, and the next day we do, and, you know, things proceed along humanly. So it should be really interesting to see in Virginia what happens, how people react, and what they do about that. I know one of the things that we've talked about, those of us who are interested in Virginia politics when it comes to equal rights, is that the right, there's been moves to push through what's called a conscience clause or any kind of state certification, and letting that happen, it sounds like a good thing. Like, why shouldn't somebody make a decision based on their conscience? You know, somebody who's a licensed genetics counselor, someone who's a lawyer, you know, whatever has a state license attached to it. But what it means is basically the right to discriminate. But
yes.
Those are sort of things that are being passed that end up taking away from anything that gets passed as a law. So if marriage equality gets passed, or LGBT, you know, anti-discrimination policies get passed, but if you, and we think, oh, everything's fine, but if we're allowing people, practitioners, to still have a conscience clause and not, you know, treat somebody or serve somebody because they, you know, have a conscience, a reason not to, they have a discriminatory reason, and they're allowed to do that, we haven't really gained too much. And that doesn't just affect the LGBT community. I mean, that affects really anybody.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting to see how those cases as well, how they affect equal rights, how those proceed in Virginia as well. So I guess I got off topic a little bit. I'm sorry.
No. It's all, you know, we're strong believers in connecting the dots here. And I don't think you were off topic at all. I can recall in my lifetime, my grandmama having me drive her to the Loving home to show me where the interracial couple that had married in Virginia, to show me where they lived, to both lecture me not to be a part of the problem, but also not to to be careful what I said when I was around people, because not everyone agreed with her that these people should be allowed to be married. And another Virginia experience, coming from the big city, I visited some cousins when I was a kid, a preteen, and because the big city kid was coming in from out of town, their parents said, why don't you go to the movies, the theater, you know, the movies. And I went, and my parents never allowed me to sit in the balcony, you know, because bad kids sat up there and threw things down. So I wasn't allowed to sit up there. But here I was away from my parents, and I saw an arrow that said balcony, and I was, oh, this is great. I'm going to go sit in the balcony. I'm racing, and my cousins both grabbed me by the neck and pulled me back and said, and I never will forget it, you can't go up there. That's where the colored people go. And
Oh, yeah.
It's not so long ago, really. I'm not that old. So the experiences, there's always been something, some segment of American population that feels they are going to lose something if they share what they have with everyone else. And I don't think black people, gay people, lesbians, or whoever want more than anybody else. They just want what the Constitution says. So, but you are right to have concerns. It's not, there is a pattern, including affordable health care, Obamacare. There is a pattern that if you can't win on the federal level, then you go to the governors who will listen, and you go to the state assemblies, and you try to work around it, like this clause, I feel certain way. Well, you know, that's how discrimination was first defeated, although the Supreme Court has gutted that, but was that a person had a right, the signs were hanging everywhere, to serve whoever he didn't want, to not serve whoever he didn't want to, but not... The Supreme Court then ruled back then, but not if that is discriminatory. You can't just deny a person service because of race. And here we are talking about denying a person marriage because of their sexual preference. So, I know we all know the facts. The question is, what are we going to do it? How do we get ERA ratified and have women equal in the Constitution? I mean, there are just so many the issues, although some more tragically murderous than others, I know, but the issues still are about equality. That's really what it comes down to, that every American citizen, regardless of what they look like and who they love and, you know, what movies they watch and their age, they should all be treated equally, and I think that's... That's the big umbrella, and we're all fighting it from different angles. Okay,
right.
Now I'm the one going on. But
I think that it is very, it's more and more apparent to me that even people who might assign themselves to the liberal category or Democratic category or, you know, however you want to put it, and say that they're all for equality, that when you start talking about some of the changes that would have to happen to really make it equal for everybody and
yes.
give people equal opportunity, that makes them uncomfortable. When you start talking about the economic factors, when you start talking about and when you challenge people's ideas of what it's like. So one of the things that's always been the interesting audience for me and my work is not really towards the people who are outlandish, homophobic, you know, you're going to hell people,
yes. But
it's more the middle American liberal people, the white middle class heterosexuals who don't have a problem with gay people, so what's all the fuss about? And they don't really understand that day to day, if you are a person who is gay or lesbian, you are constantly facing the possibility of discrimination, and you are constantly facing losing something because you don't have those rights protected. And it's a totally different way to approach simple things like going to a store. I'm going to go order a cake for my wedding. Will I get turned away? I'm going to, I have custody issues with my children. I just got a call the other day from a woman who had been really hoping that marriage would be, she would be able to get married last Thursday.
Yeah.
Before the Supreme Court put the stay on that. So, and she, and her partner has two kids from, marriages with a man, and he has been suing for custody for just making up reasons, and they're terrified of what would happen if it came out that they were together. And, I know most of my, good-meaning, good-hearted liberal friends would say, what's the big deal? Nobody cares. But they don't realize that, I faced a judge several years ago where the fact that I was gay was being held over my head. Mm-hmm. I was in danger of losing my children just for that, for no other reason. I mean, thank goodness I didn't, because it didn't come out,
Yes.
But
you had to live with it, yes.
It makes a difference. And all that we're asking for is, let us have our families. Let us have the option for that security, to be recognized as equal citizens, to have the same responsibilities. People joke, like, why do you want to get married? Everybody gets divorced. Like, who wants it? But not having that option means that we are excluded in some way from the normal civil processes. And you're right, people feel like they're going to lose something. People are stuck in this imagery of a perfect white middle class 1950s household even to this day, and change is hard. As my partner was telling our daughter the other day, nobody likes change, and sometimes grown-ups have temper tantrums about change, and it just looks different than a kid, but it's
yes.
the exact same thing, And so it's understandable. I get it. I get that it's hard when you think that things are one way and that gets challenged. It can be scary for all of us. So I certainly have compassion for people who might be tentative or worried about changes that seem to them like they don't quite get it. My mom came and visited us a few weeks ago, and she's from deep in the heart of Texas and a Methodist minister, and was worried that she was, by coming to visit, a gay family, that we would be parading around in our underwear like she sees on Fox News or whatever.
Yeah.
And, we're just a boring family. We wake up, we have breakfast, we go to work, the kids go to school, we have dinner, do homework. And my partner just looked at her and said, we must seem really boring to you, don't we? We're just not living up to your expectations. And I think she was a little bit shocked by that.
Yes,
but,
yes.
We have straight friends, we have barbecues. I mean, it's just pretty prosaic. So, yeah. It's a fight that happens, in those moments of interacting with families, interacting with your neighbors, and this constant, will I come out? Will I be out? That's
yes.
a constant question. Am I going to just keep it hidden so I don't have to worry about it?
But you do worry about it, don't you? I mean, the constant,
totally. I interacted with an insurance agent several months ago, and she was in my home and taking my vitals for insurance, and here I am, the president of the Charlottesville Pride Community Network, and I really found myself not wanting, when she assumed I was married to a man,
because you had children.
She made some joke about it, and I didn't want to correct her because it just seemed easier to let her assume something and not have to deal with if she, gave me a funny look or did something different with my application, or, it was an interesting moment that, is is what people, thousands and thousands of people go through every day.
Yes.
All the time. So, and if you're in a position of privilege in this society, you don't know, that doesn't even cross your mind,
yeah.
You know? You know, same situation for black and white, you know, the whole situation in Ferguson and everything. You see what I keep hearing are things like, you know, mothers saying, you know, don't put too many people in the car and a cop will pull you over.
Yeah.
Well, that's a consideration you don't have if you're white, you know, you're not wouldn't even cross your mind.
Exactly.
So anyway.
Yeah. Listen, tell us, because since we're on Blog Talk Radio, we have more listeners that are not necessarily in Virginia. Tell us what exactly is Charlottesville Pride Community Network.
So we started because Charlottesville, like many states, Virginia has more liberal cities, so Richmond, Charlottesville, Northern Virginia, maybe Virginia Beach would be included, where you're going to see more blueness, more Democrats, more liberals, more gay people. But then there's really rural areas that are more conservative. So it's an odd mixed blend when you come to a city like Charlottesville, because you'll have, there are a lot of gay people who live here. But because it is a very conservative area overall, when I first was here and coming out, I didn't know where anybody was. And I would, you know, I couldn't find the gay people. I was looking for them. I couldn't find them.
Where are those gay people?
I said, hello, where are you? And nobody would hold hands on our, you know, in our city center. Nobody would hold hands. And people are very sort of self-suppressive. You know, and it's kind of like, no, nobody's getting harassed outwardly, but... Mm. Also, nobody's really out. So, you know, just a kind of like don't ask, don't tell atmosphere.
Exactly, yes.
So I said, you know, I did found some people online, and I said, we've got to do an event. We've got to do something to get everybody together to see that we exist, if for nothing else, you know?
Yes.
So we started having picnics every year, and then people started giving me money, and I said, oh my goodness, this has to be an organization, because I can't just take money, like, you know, donations
as
a person. So a few of us got together, and we realized we wanted to put on, you know, a festival, an event, but we knew there were other things we wanted to address as well. So we'll be having our third annual Pride Festival. And it's been amazing because the first one, we were hoping 100 people would show up, and we had about 2,000 was the estimate. And then last year for the second one, we had about 4,000 people show up. So it's just clearly something that people have enjoyed and find valuable. You know, we had a couple last year came up to me, and they were from a surrounding county, so a very conservative area, and they said, you know, we've been together 13 years, we have 3 children, and today is the first day that we held hands outside in public. And it just was really moving for me that this festival is a very family-friendly festival. It invites people of all walks of life, old, young, straight, gay, black, white, whatever, to come and celebrate equality, and it's just wonderful. It's a community event that people just really enjoy and is welcoming to everyone. And it really is about saying you're free to be who you are without any condemnation. Anyway, so that's big. But the network, the organization that we're trying to do some other things as well, just in general, raise awareness about things that happened. Like we had a transgender youth of color who disappeared a couple years ago. And, you know, it was following on the tails of very high-profile white girls missing, and they got a lot more press than this person did. And so we were working to try to get more publicity around this person who the news just didn't even know how to talk about her. And it was really interesting to do that. So there's some awareness work that we do. And then we're trying to connect businesses and get more businesses and organizations trained around diversity.
Mm-hmm.
We call it safe space trained. We are trying to get cities and have some educational institutions around town get more trained. We're connecting different groups so that everybody's connected and not kind of in their own pockets.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have a health forum that we started, getting health providers around town together so that they can learn more about being LGBT friendly when it comes to healthcare, and also to let people know where they can go to see a provider who mm-hmm. is LGBT like aware. So we're trying to connect dots, like you with your program, we've been trying to connect dots and educate people about who lives here and what are the issues they face and how people can help and how people can explicitly stand up and say, you know, I'm for marriage equality. I'm for LGBT rights because, you know, I believe in equality. And to really understand that it matters that people do that.
I'm going to interrupt you right there, Amy Sarah. We need to take a break. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
And now, another film rental discovery.
Welcome to the Indie Film Minute. Back in 2005, Hustle and Flow hit the Sundance Film Festival and exploded into that year's must-see film in the mountains of Utah. However, the story unfolds a million miles away from that idle setting, in the tough inner city of Memphis, Tennessee. But this is no shallow ghetto story. Yes, its central character is a pimp, but from the opening frame, we know that DJ, played with depth and nuance by Terrence Howard, has an intellectual core. We can't help but believe that born in a different environment, he would have found success in any number of respectable fields. But in his real world, he must choose from the avenues available to him. And he must dream the impossible dream, a ticket out through his art. Fortunately, DJ has the magic to inspire a disparate group of friends to join in pursuing his dream to create a rap anthem. Will DJ, with a bunch of whores singing back up, a quirky white boy with recording skills, and a church-going family man ultimately succeed? Hustle and Flow is a gripping film about the American dream, full of complexity and a richness of vision that will burn its story and its song into that special corner where we hold the films we love. Hustle and Flow, not in theaters, discovery through rental.
Welcome back to the Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio. My guest today is Amy Sarah Marshall, president of the Charlottesville Pride Community Network. I don't think I'll take her too off track from what we were saying in the last segment there if I point out that Charlottesville is a liberal city for the most part. University of Virginia is here, etc. But even in Charlottesville, you can, as Amy Sarah was saying the last time, her experience was, where are all the gay people? Well, I can remember when I first came here from New York trying to direct shows that needed a black cast, I had to go as far as the city manager and say, where are the black people? Because no black actors were coming to auditions. So there is a separation, if you will. But having said that, Charlottesville is a marvelous city with great cultural and historical credits. But when one steps outside of Charlottesville into the counties, and there are four counties that sort of surround Charlottesville, it's a different world. So continue with that, with what you were saying. I don't mean to change the subject at all, Amy Sarah, but can you sort of weave that into what you were saying?
You're absolutely right. There's that line when you cross over into one of the counties that you do run into a different situation. And the farther you go, the more scary it can get.
Yeah, until you get to Northern Virginia.
Yeah. A couple years ago, a few of us went down to, there was an event at Lynchburg College, and it was talking about, not Lynchburg University, but Lynchburg College.
Okay.
And not Liberty, I mean. But Lynchburg College is sort of like this little liberal college tucked away in Lynchburg. Uh-huh. But we went there for an event, and literally, as people were entering this event, they were looking to see if anybody was looking, watching them come in the door.
Oh, wow.
And that showed us just the paranoia that exists in that town, where you have Liberty as, you know, almost kind of like a little police state for some people experience it that way, that being out there is really risky.
Yes.
And very, an act of courage. Absolutely, every day. So, and that's an hour, 15 minutes away. We wanted to take all those people and just bring them home with us. So it was scary. But yeah, even surrounding Charlottesville, you know, and it's interesting because, you know, and maybe this is happening across the country, while you have movement in two directions. Yeah. You have people who are just growing more accustomed to the idea of same-sex marriage. More people, I might assume they're going to be have a problem with me, and they don't. They're completely fine with it. Like, that surprises me more than anything, is how many people I come across in a county. You know, I might look at them and make my own prejudiced assumptions, you know, and think they're going to look down on me for being gay, and they don't, and it's wonderful. So, on the one hand, and you know, younger kids, I mean, they don't even think of it as an issue. But at the same time that that's happening, you are also seeing this entrenchment on the side of people who, like you said, are not happy with anything changing, and do see that as a problem. I don't think that's going to win. I think that economically, and I just think as people get to know people individually, both on that macro and the micro level, that it makes sense to let people be equal. But yeah, I mean, and you're talking about the racial issues too. I mean, Charlottesville is a very separated place even to this day.
Yes.
And it's really hard to find places where people are integrating with each other, which is one of the things that's great about the festival, and not because I made it happen that way or anything, but the diversity there, like any other event I've been to in our area. And we do have people from the surrounding counties. We had people from other states come.
Yes.
But you also see, you know, you see black people, you see Asian people, you see Hispanic people, and it's really wonderful.
I do want to talk about specifically about the festival on September 13th. But I did two questions I want to ask before we get into that. And one is, you've already sort of commented on it. I'm curious, even at your festival or any other time, straight people having some difficulty being a part or coming out in their own way to being supportive, even though they feel, as you say, liberals feel, but to attend and be seen with or photographed with or stand with or march with or whatever, do you see a problem there, and is that problem easing? That's the first question. And the second is, I want to ask you about our new Attorney General, but go with the first one, if you will, first.
I see it easing. Yes, I see more and more straight people feeling fine standing up, being in pictures, having best friends, showing up at a Pride festival, and having a good time. And definitely more in the younger generation. But I do see that easing. I do see that as the huge thing that has to happen.
Yes.
I do see
good.
That a lot.
Good. Okay.
Attorney General Mark Herring, we're proud of him.
Yes.
And he is going to be opening up the festival, which we're really excited about.
Yes.
And I've had the privilege of meeting him a couple times, and I have found everything he says, that he means what he says, at least in my dealings with him. And I'm glad that he's been one of the national, like on the national scene with his vocal backing of marriage equality.
Yes.
Absolutely.
He was, for those who are outside of Virginia who may have missed it, although as you say, it made the national news, within a week, I think, of his becoming the Attorney General of Virginia, he announced that he felt that the ban on same-sex marriage in Virginia was unconstitutional, and he would fight it in court, and he certainly has followed through. What was it like to hear that from that office, considering the Attorney General we had just had? How did that feel? You know, how did that feel
wonderful.
To any straight or gay person, for that matter?
I know. It could have been, to talk about extremes. Cuccinelli was something. It was wonderful. It's. Just, tightness in your chest, releasing type of feeling. Definitely some relief and excitement. I've been really glad both McAuliffe and Herring have followed through with what they ran on when
yes.
it comes to this. So
yes.
I've just been really, it's crazy. It's like, how did this happen in Virginia when we just had Cuccinelli
exactly.
running around trying to
Which I think is a sign of hope, because I really do think, for lack of a better phrase, the good guys outnumber the bad guys. I hate to put it that way, but I do believe that most Americans, there are people who have extreme beliefs on either side, left and right, but I do believe after a period of the 90s and trying to impeach Clinton and all the, you know, the Clintons make people feel strongly one way or the other, and they still do. But after that period of time, the things have very slowly, I think, returned to a situation where there are more people in the middle, or the middle is bigger, wider, let's put it that way, than the extremes on the left and right. I have hope for that, but I certainly was... I was worried about Cuccinelli and that entire administration, really, but especially Cuccinelli, because he was the attorney general. That's not a minor position when deciding legal questions. But to have such a quick turnaround, it seems to me, and by that I don't just mean changing administrations. I mean a whole mindset, a whole POV. I think it's promising, but it certainly must seem like a roller coaster ride to you. It's up one day, down the next. You don't know what. What do you think?
Well, certainly the past 2 years, it has been just amazingly fast. With DOMA, that decision, when that came down, and then just state after state, I mean, it's just, it is amazing how from 5 years ago, it's a totally different landscape. Yeah. And, you know, in terms of public opinion and the middle, I mean, you're right. Polls, just every time they take another poll on how people, Americans, feel about gay people or marriage equality, I mean, it's just continues to increase in acceptance. And so, yeah, and it's so interesting to see that happen. And in my lifetime, I know for people who are older than I am, it's extremely dramatic. Mm-hmm. But I know that when, you know, Ellen hadn't even kissed somebody on TV when I was a teenager.
Oh, yes, yes.
You know, yeah. So it's, wow, what a change. So
absolutely.
It is hopeful. It is hopeful.
It is. And I have heard a couple of legal friends of mine say that it was a smart move for the Supreme Court to stay the decision. And the reasons they gave, and these are attorneys, of course, so, but their reason was, if the Supreme Court rules against same-sex marriage and people have already gotten married, that creates a chaotic situation for everyone. Whereas if the court says, no, let's wait and let us decide, then, of course, you have to live with who knows what they're going to do, because they have certainly had their share of, 5-4 conservative opinions, and yet at the same time they passed Obamacare. I mean, I just don't know what the court is going to do, but we have to wait, and then we have to go to Congress if necessary. But let's now shift, because I do want people to know the particulars and specifics about the Pride Festival. It is Saturday, September 13th, and as you've already said, Attorney General Mark Herring is going to open it up. Can you tell us all about it and why we should come?
Sure. So it's from 11 to 5. It's in a beautiful park in downtown Charlottesville. We will have a tent that is at the stage, I mean, is going to be produced and put on by Live Arts, which is our local theater. Uh-huh. And it's going to be, you know, all kinds of different acts and entertainment, music, band, people playing music, people dancing. We'll have some drag shows, we'll have some theater, we'll have some poetry. So it'll be a kaleidoscope of entertainment, and all day long. And then we have a kid area with a moon bounce and balloons, and there's going to be arts and crafts and origami and a free photo booth where you can get pictures and dress up for pictures. And so that's a lot of fun, and, you know, always fun to bring kids to some kind of event like that, and then we'll have a beer garden, and some wine will be sold, and food trucks will be there. And then there's just all the vendors who are there. We have 65, 66 vendors.
Wow.
Representing just different organizations and businesses. So, you know, the businesses are there to say, hey, you know, we are LGBT friendly, and you know, and then the organizations are there showing their support and their involvement in the community. And the thing that's fun is all the vendors do something different. Edgecombs, it's a Volvo Auto and Volvo place.
Uh-huh.
They have their signature lounge where they have usually some kind of baked good that's there for free, and people can, mothers can nurse their babies. They have couches, and so they make like a whole little area.
Hmm.
And then other places give out free things or do photos, or there's just something interactive in each booth, each tent. So it's a lot of fun. And there's also free tattoos and just all sorts of things. So it's a very vibrant day. And you know, we'll have a raffle. We have a lot of the raffle prizes that are great. And you get a free, everybody who comes gets a free wristband, a pride wristband.
Uh-huh.
That then gets you access at a discount to the Pride After Dark after party, which this is new this year, which from at 5 o'clock, right after the festival ends, and it's sponsored by Thrive Healthcare. At 5 o'clock until about 8, there's a youth-friendly, fun party event. And I'm so excited about this because, you know, a lot of after-party type things are aimed towards adults, and it's all about alcohol and that type of thing. But this is really for the youth. This is for the teens. And we have a lot of gay teenagers in the area, and their families can come, or they can just go. And it's free food and soft drinks and music and karaoke and entertainment, and there's a slide of some kind. I don't even know. It's just crazy. It's going to be super fun. And then after that, the doors open for, we have Wicked Jezebel. They're like a DC Pride favorite, and Mama's Little Black Sheep, another favorite band. And then I think at about 10, DJ Grind is a nationally known DJ is going to start playing, and that'll go till 2. So it's going to be a whole day, of all kinds of things. I think people will have to go home and take a nap or something. I'm not sure, but
and come back.
But the party is being put on by Thrive and by the same people who do some other fabulous parties in the area. And you know, there's going to be all kinds of things going on there. So, and if you have that Pride wristband, there's several businesses that are going to be giving discounts that week. If you have your Pride wristband on. So it's just going to be, the whole thing just gets festive. The whole downtown mall gets festive.
Mm.
And, you know, it's just a really great energy and a lot of fun. And we will be having another family event. It's happening on Friday at a local coffee shop, which I've got to put the information up online. But and also, I should say, a lot, we have what we call the Spirit Grove, but at the festival, we have several religious organizations, some churches, some Buddhists, and they will be having an interfaith celebration at some point in the afternoon. So it's also really great to have the religious community represented there as well. So I feel like there's something for everybody.
Yes, I was going to ask you, had you not mentioned it anyway, I think it's a good point to first of all say it's family friendly, and the after dark family friendly time, as you say, is a non-alcoholic time for teenagers, young people. When the music starts, we leave Lee Park and we head over to Main Street Arena. Yes.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
And then there's the after time with the with the adults with the DJ Grind, 10 a.m. to 2 a.m. So. But back to the interfaith celebration, you can tell us how that came about, but how valuable that must be. It's a shame to have to put it that way, but some people need to see this kind of acceptance from the restaurant community, from the arena community, and from the interfaith community, arts and crafts. people need to see that so that they understand, as you said, you're just another family, for Pete's sake. You get up in the morning, you get the kids up for school, you try to, you know, open your eyes with coffee or whatever and get on to work. So how did the interfaith celebration piece of the festival come about?
So, like you said, it's just so extremely valuable, a message to the gay community and the rest of the world, the rest of the straight community, to everybody that being religious does not mean that you are conservative in this, and doesn't mean that you're anti-gay. And many people derive their values and their judgments about sexual orientation from a religious perspective. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's really important to show that there are many kinds of thought and beliefs around that. Especially because, you know, as we talk about all these issues of equality, I know that for me, I find that I have a spiritual basis as well as a political basis for believing in equality. You know, to me, we're human beings and we're all like in this together, you know, and at the very base of it, at the root of it. And so I think that it's really important to have that affirmation happen. So honestly, I'm the one who said, let's have an interfaith celebration.
Yes, good, good.
Because last year we did have, I don't know how planned it was, but the Christian, three of the Christian churches that were there did serve communion and offered it to people who had not gone back to church because they were not welcome there. And people had tears streaming down their face because they felt welcomed back where they had felt they were excluded. So it is very transformative and meaningful for people to feel, I mean, for anybody who's grown up in a religious community where, you know, you're part of a family, love, you know, God, you know, is accepting and loving you, and then to be banished from that can be crippling for many people, or wounding. So to have that restoration occur for people on that level, it's meaningful, you know, and like you say, it's just one part of society, again, showing that, that acceptance.
All right, before we go, we're sort of out of time, but let us know, how can we get tickets?
Well, the festival during the day is free, so no tickets needed. That's a free event. You get your wristband for free, and the entertainment, everything is free. You have to pay for the food.
How about t-shirts? You buy t-shirts?
T-shirts will be on sale, yes. We have an awesome t-shirt this year. We have some other, we have some hats. T-shirts will be $20, and we'll have hats. We'll have lots of other freebies. So different people will be offering things. And then tickets, you can buy tickets at the festival for the after party. Okay. And again, if you have your wristband, it's $10.
Okay.
For over 21. And sorry, I'm looking at somebody else's answer. Yeah, if you're over 21, it's $10. And I think the youth event is free.
Uh-huh. And do we have to go on Facebook to RSVP or anything?
Please. Go to Facebook. Look up Charlottesville Pride. Look it up by Seville Pride. It's Facebook/Seville Pride, and you'll see the events listed there. The RSVP, that would be, it's so helpful for us to get a sense of numbers, and that way you can also share it with people and invite them as well. And that's always my challenge for everybody when you sign up for an event or like our page, to go ahead and share it with other people and invite them to, you know, take the stigma away if there is any existing for you. And it is for some people online. You talk about coming out in person. There's lots of people who will message me and say they're nervous about saying that they're for gay rights on Facebook. So, but that is my challenge, you know, be a little brave and invite some people to come as well.
And be brave too. All right. This has been The Reasonable Voice, Blog Talk Radio. My guest, Amy Sarah Marshall, president of Seville Pride Community Network. And we're all looking for you on Saturday, September 13th. Also, there's an event the Friday night before. Go to Facebook, you get all the information. And Amy Sarah, I thank you for your courage and for your inspiring courage in others. You are a tremendous asset, I feel, to this city, and I hope it will ripple out across the state and the country, okay?
Thank you so much. That's very kind. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Our pleasure. Bye now.
Stay with us as we'll be right back with a final comment from The Reasonable Voice.
And now, another film rental discovery.
Welcome to the Indie Film Minute.
When we first saw the best exotic Marigold Hotel, we were surrounded by a sea of blue hair. Not punk dye job blue, but the natural old age gray kind. And boy, did they love this story. Seven elderly Brits succumbed to promotions of affordable luxury retirement living in India. Predictably, upon arrival, their accommodations offer less than the luxury depicted, setting the stage for a rich tableau of reaction, story, and experience. This film features prime British acting royalty. Dame Judi Dench, Dame Maggie Smith, Bill Nighy, and Tom Wilkinson, to name a few. Not everyone may recognize these names, but suffice it to say that their mastery in the art of character would make utterly fascinating their reading of a dictionary. And they have been given a wonderfully sensitive and comedic story to complement their considerable talents. Sure, the storyline of aging, hope, disappointment, staying positive, and facing death turns out older viewers. So, not about the young? Of course it is. Time marches forward, and all can thoroughly enjoy contemplation of what is current for some, and future for the rest. Best Exotic Marigold Hotel. Not in theaters. Discovery through rental.
Hello, I'm Marcello Rolando, The Reasonable Voice, thanking you for joining us in becoming one of the reasonable voices heard round the world. God give me guts is a famous D-Day prayer. Dare conservatives and liberals together honor D-Day 1944 and 2014 in giving innocent until proven guilty another shot? Free will empowers us to emulate the greatest generation, or be sovereign citizens with an open-carry domestic terrorist agenda, to be defined by convenience store owners cheating Florida's lottery players, or be like Flight 33 passengers and heroically save potential gun violence victims from Seattle to Atlanta in a single day. But do we have the D-Day guts to defend the rights of Americans who continually demand our constitutional rights while they distort the sacred honor of the nation-defining words written therein? And do we have the D-Day guts to reach out to true conservatives who are being discriminated against by Koch-funded governors that they themselves elected? Have we D-Day guts to be Republicans that make Eisenhower and Reagan proud by liberally defeating governors who are anti-teacher, anti-voter, anti-citizen in Wisconsin, West Virginia, Oklahoma, Ohio, Nevada, Kansas, Iowa, Arizona, and anti-renewables, cokeheads, anti-middle America legislatures? However, before redefining ourselves as America, the gem of the Eddie Slovak firing squads, dispatching deserters as traitors, which, by the way, was condoned by General George Washington in 1781 to deter potential Federal Hill mutineers, let's acknowledge in our Civil War, though both North and South executed deserters, they usually waited until after a court-martial. D-Day 1944, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Prime Minister Winston Churchill, and General Dwight D. Eisenhower sent 150,000 of the greatest Allied generation to take back Europe from the Nazis. And on D-Day 2014, we celebrate that for 70 years, the French, despite the insulting old Europe Rumsfeld and ugly American arrogance of freedom fries, have returned to the Normandy American Cemetery to tearfully thank America and Americans for coming to thank Lafayette. We can transform support our troops into a cliche of political convenience to cover up an appalling lack of medical treatment for veterans, or we can support the bipartisan Veterans Affairs Reform Bill by ejecting a Congress that has supremely failed both American civilians and those who've served them in the military. We can choose to love thy neighbor as thyself, or closet our neighbors in brownback-stained states in favor of lower taxes for the wealthiest while enabling legislatures to disable Medicaid expansion for the neediest, and, on top of that, force legislative conversion on gay Texans. We can honor what veterans have fought, suffered, and died for, the sanctity of one person, one vote. Or we can host two AMT parties behind closed courthouse doors and, like Executive Republican Chair, use Hinds County Sheriff to ignore the fact that campaign staff were left alone with private ballots cast by Mississippi voters. We can choose to take lives or choose to save lives, to protect votes or steal elections. We can choose to do better in this 2014 election than imitating Watergate and Jim Crow with photo ID abuses of Justice for All. And we can put bank executives' backs against the firing wall with legal investigation, indictment, and trial by jury. We can continue the second American concentration camp where legal counsel, trial by jury, parole, and judicial sentencing is outlawed or risk being impeached for executing an end run around a do-nothing Congress of hypocrites to close a maleficent Guantanamo, a stain on America's fading reputation for human decency with conduct unbecoming. We can, as Lincoln's past, borrow and return habeas corpus, or we can be mushroom cloud gangbangers, stealing and preserving our habeas corpus for a growing police state. Yes, we can, like tornado-destroyed Greenburg, Kansas, rebuild with renewable wind towers, if only in 2014, as we did in Operation Overlord, we reignite our United States of we band of sisters and brothers, seize the torch of Lady Liberty, and muster the guts to outvote Citizens United, temper climate change, and bring all our people home. Join us. Become one of the reasonable voices heard round the world. Thank you.
Thank you for continuing to listen to, support, and most of all, share the Reasonable Voice Blog Talk Radio with your friends both on and offline. In response to your emails, we are now accepting new company and business advertisers and welcoming organizations seeking to be one of our sponsors. To apply, please email us at thereasonablevoice@gmail.com.
Thank you for joining us today to make every day as reasonable as possible. We hope you will download and share our downloadable podcasts. I am Marcello Rolando, the Reasonable Voice, hoping you will become one of the reasonable voices heard round the world.